worship our God, the King of Kings, and give Him the glory that is due His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure,
I'm praise when I'm doubting.
I'll praise when outnumbered,
I'll praise when surrounded.
'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'll praise when I feel it,
I'll praise when I don't.
I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control.
'Cause my praise is a weapon,
it's more than a sound.
My praise is a shout
that brings Jericho down.
As long as I'm breathing,
I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside?
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign,
praise 'cause you reign,
praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave.
I'll praise 'cause you're faithful,
praise 'cause you're true,
praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign,
praise 'cause you reign,
praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave.
I'll praise 'cause you're faithful,
praise 'cause you're true,
praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside?
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Let everything
that hath breath,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that hath breath,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, let's praise Him this morning.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. You are worthy, oh God. Oh, we praise your name, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, He is worthy. He is worthy. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. Worthy of God. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve
give the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
God, you're worthy. Oh, we praise your my wonderful name. Oh, Ramamantarabashi. Oh, we praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Be exalted, our God. Oh, be exalted, our God. Oh, Ramama Manteshe. Oh, Rabra Pantara. Oh, Rantoshi. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Ora mampara o santara pro pantashe ora mamantashira sai o mantoro pro cantashe ora mamantashe ora pantara bakira se ora mamanta shira se I would say to you, my little ones, awake. I would say to you, my little ones, awake. Awake and sing to your God. Awake, my little ones, and put on your garment of praise. Awaken your soul and your spirit. Lift up the name of your God. Put on your garments of praise. Oh, Ramamamanta Shide Se. Oh, we praise your name. Oh, my God, my God. Harupai, oh Jesus. Hora mama maranandarai. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, praise your name. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves.
where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place into the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I'm on my mind. Lord, you're welcome here. We welcome you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Ora mama maraba. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hand, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh praise the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Sing your praise, O Lord, O Lord.
lift your name, our
God. Oh, God, we give you glory and honor and praise. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God.
You can be seated. So this morning we're going to remember the death, resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I went to the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, when Israel was to be finally delivered from Egypt, God gave some instructions through Moses. And he said, I want you to take a lamb. And in other places we know that the lamb has got to be a pure lamb, a spotless lamb. Take a lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. So both sides and up. Which, if you trace a line between that, by the way, is a cross. So do that. And it says, and he says, and the angel of death is going to come. And it says, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over. He didn't say when he sees the Jews. He didn't say when he sees nice people or people who did nice things. When he sees the blood, he'll pass over. Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So it's good for us to get together once a month or so, maybe even more at times. You know, you can do communion in your house if you wanted to. Just to remember that when he sees the blood, he passes over. That puts everything in perspective, because I don't think I'm the only one in this room that can say, I've made my mistakes, I've done dumb, stupid, foolish things, and that's just this morning. When he sees the blood. There's another story. When Israel is being plagued because of their own foolishness, their own sin, and God instructed Moses to take and make out of brass a serpent and put that serpent up on a pole. And he said when someone who was bitten by one of these venomous snakes sees that snake, they'll be better. So the one thing is that we need to know is that God sees the blood. And the second thing we need to know is that we see the Lord. When those two things come together, we can celebrate eternal life with Jesus Christ. When he sees the blood. This morning as we take these elements, and I'm going to invite you to come up even now, come up, and these are the gluten-free over here. As we take the elements, we go back to our seats, and we just meditate a little bit. Just think about it while everybody else is getting theirs, and you're sitting there waiting. Just think about where you would be without the blood. When he sees the blood, that's what he shed on the cross. So come right now, and take the grape juice, and take the bread. Go back to your seats and meditate upon the goodness of the Lord, how wonderful he is.
the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord.
We have reason to rejoice. It all goes back to Calvary. That day that he willingly went to the cross. You know, he said, no man takes my life from me. I give it up. And if I give it up, I'll take it up again. And he kept his promise. But the day before he died, he took bread. His disciples were all there, having a meal. Maybe in their minds it was a meal like any other meal that they had with the Messiah, any other Seder feast. But at this one, he said, he broke the bread, and he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, now you, take, eat of this, every one of you. This is my body, broken for you. Let's take it together. And then he took the cup, knowing that within just a matter of a few short hours, his back would be opened up with whips, his brow would be opened up with thorns, his hands and his feet would be pierced, and then finally through his side, a spear would be thrust, that he would shed every drop of blood in atonement for our sin. But he took that cup, and he said to his disciples, he said, take, eat it, all of you. This is my blood shed for you. Let's, with thanksgiving, remember the blood and take the cup. And Paul writes, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Never forget when he sees the blood.
Amen. Amen. Father Tom, could you help me move the table back? Whatever, just move it back. Thank you. Thank you. It looks funny when I do it alone. All right. I wonder, after what we've just celebrated, how I could ever have a bad day ever again. I wonder, God forgive me when I'm tempted to complain, when I'm tempted to be sad or depressed, that God has made a way for us and we're living in eternity right now. Do you know that you're living in eternity right this moment? Your eternal life has started. It's a wonderful and amazing thing to realize that not only are we going to live forever, we are living forever right now because we're in relationship with Him. Glory, glory to His name. Anybody have a testimony to share this morning? I want to always give opportunity. If you don't, that's okay. But if God has done something, we want to hear about it. Brother Carl. Oh, shoot, it was already on.
Just like to thank God for his...
Hold it right up there so we get it on.
Just like to thank God for his mercy and his grace and just for always being there with me. I have been experiencing a lot of car trouble, car shopping, which I don't like. I don't like car shopping. It's the first time I've ever looked for a new car and was even able to buy a new car. But after 4.5 hours in dealership in Buffalo yesterday, I came home with a new car.
Oh, amen. 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 Anyone else? Sister Karen.
God is always the faithful in the little things, and so often lately I've been praying for something and all of a sudden it's there. I mean, I'll go shopping and I'll find something that I've been looking for and I'll get the last one on the shelf. Well, I've had a serious bout of irritable bowel syndrome, and I usually get this one medication called intestinal soothing blend from my son, and for some reason it didn't come and it didn't come, so I went for a week or two without it and I got really bad. So I was praying for the Lord. I really need this medication. I really need this. And I was getting my hair done the other day, and unbeknownst to me, they were selling the same vitamins there that I usually order, and there was one jar on the shelf of exactly what I needed. And I just started laughing because I thought, I started praising the Lord and saying, well, you know what I need, and you supply it even when I can't get it.
Amen. And the cool thing is, it's drug-free, and God created it, and it took care of the problem. Yes! Glory be to God. Anybody else? We've got several. Brother Pat.
I went to prepare last Sunday. My back has really been barking the last few weeks, and it's really, the Lord touched it. It's really been good. It's not pain-free, but it's been good. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And if you don't realize it, Brother Pat, he is faithful. He comes up for prayer all the time. But the scripture says, ask, seek, and knock. Yeah.
I just want to praise the Lord because my daughter-in-law out in Utah, her brother's wife was involved in a really bad car accident. I don't know how long ago. It was quite a while ago. But
Several months.
Yeah, she wasn't expected to live. She had many broken bones, brain injuries, and they had to repair her internal organs. It was just a mess. And she came home the week before Easter, she was able to come home. And she still has a long path of recovery, but it's just amazing what the Lord can do, and I'm sure a lot of people were praying for her.
Amen. I can testify that that was nothing short of a miracle. That woman should never have survived. But for the prayers of the saints, lots of people were praying for her. Randy, meet you in the middle.
On Fridays, twice a year for 5 weeks at a time, spring and fall, I've been invited to help out with this little organization in Hornell called Club Can Do, and it's an after-school program. And it's to teach the Bible to the children in the school that want to attend. So I was a Bible teacher for this season, and on Friday was our last day, and they have a program afterwards that meant like our normally 30-minute teaching time is now condensed to 20 minutes, and then I have to teach a lesson and then go through the review, and we have these kids I really don't know. Anyways, we're trying to do as much as we can, but anyways, I was feeling very overwhelmed by it all just because, you know, there's a lot going on, and I'm helping my parents quite a bit right now too. So, but anyways, I reached out for prayer, and I said, Lord, I'm just feeling overwhelmed. So anyways, I got there, I just said, Lord, you're with me, thank you, Lord, and got all my stuff together, got everything together, and what we did is we, when it was my turn to share in front of the parents, we had reviewed it all, and the last lesson, which was like so amazing, because I wasn't even getting it until I was sharing it with the parents. And then I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, you've done this. And you know, the lesson was about Jesus coming back, you know, appearing to the disciples when they were fishing all night, and he says, cast your nets. You know, and we got into it. So when I teach, I just teach like, okay, we're acting it out all the time. And so they got it, and I said, you know, three times Peter denied him, and three times, so they got that, Jesus asked him if you love me. And you know, so I was sharing this with the parents and all that, and you know, I was watching the parents' face, and I was sensing the Holy Spirit, and I was sensing this draw, and I was like, these people are listening to me. They're really listening. And I was like, God. And I said this, and then it came out of my mouth. I wasn't even thinking it. It just came out of my mouth. I said, this sin that Peter did, betraying the Lord, was so big. And yet Jesus forgave him of that. And not only did he want to let him know that he forgave him, I had a Peter standing here, some kid that was being Peter. I said, I'm patting his head. Peter, not only did Peter, he wanted to tell Peter he forgave him, but he gave him a job to do because he trusted him. I said, and that's how God sees us. And it was like, it was just like God was just doing something. So I was just like giving God praise. So, you know, God is, I was like, God, you are obviously working in our midst, and you are bringing and drawing hearts to him. So I just give him praise for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to share a few prayer needs today. I'd like us to remember the Rosicki family today. Ernie and Lynn Rosicki were long time attenders of this church. I think Lynn was attending the church before we came, and we were always praying for her husband, Ernie, to get saved, and Ernie got saved, and he really got saved, really did. And but their son, Chris, passed away this past Tuesday, very difficult circumstances, and I'd like to remember and pray for their family today. There's Ernie and Lynn. Chris's brother Matt, and Chris had three children, Grace, Spencer, and Silas. For those who are interested, there'll be calling hours Tuesday evening at the Emser Funeral Home, 4 to 6 p.m., and they'll have the funeral for Chris on Wednesday morning at the funeral home at 11 a.m. So calling hours Tuesday, 4 to 6, and then funeral at 11 a.m. And please pray for me. They've asked me to do the service. And there's likely to be a bunch of unsaved people there. So it's an opportunity for God to move. I received a letter from, by the way, there is a card on the back on the table, the little round table back here. For the Rosickis, and if you knew them and you want to express your sympathy, please sign that card. We're going to send that on to them, or if you want to send your own, that's fine, but there is a card in the back. Please remember to sign that if you would. I also received a letter from Jonathan and Danny Bowden, and it was they've had quite a time where they are. They work for, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, Vi Abundante, I think. That is the ministry that they work under, and the man that oversees that, Reverend Hachimu, I'm probably not saying his name right either, and his wife Guama went through a real terrible trial over the last few weeks. In Niger, if you want to cook or in your home, you either cook over wood or you have a propane stove. And this late, his wife Guama, everybody called her Mama Guama. And she was a spiritual mother to people all over Nigeria. Oh my gosh, everybody knew Mama Guama. They were working on their propane stove in the kitchen, and she walked out to see what was happening at that moment. The stove exploded, and she and three other people experienced severe, terrible burns on their bodies. They rushed them to the hospital, but the hospital in Niger is just a horrible place. People that go in have a 50-50 chance of coming back out. It's full of germs, it's filthy, and it happened on the weekend, and on the weekend all of the medical staff goes home. They take the weekend off and they just leave the patients. Nobody feeds them. They were instructed not to give them any water. Nobody had an IV except for one person. So there they were. Well, Jonathan and Danny heard about it, and they immediately went down and they got her transferred to a better hospital. Praise God, where there were Christian people that could help her. And Mama Woma continued to improve. Each day they said they saw improvement on last Friday. It said Mama Guoma was singing, praying, and worshiping all day long. She was encouraging everyone who came to visit and everyone who was helping to care for her. Everybody was so encouraged by her progress and how well she was getting. Mama Guoma started to talk about seeing a great white light in front of her, which she described as glory. And they heard from one eyewitness that she said that she saw the heavens opened and old and young descending, ascending and descending from heaven dressed in white. Amazing. And she was just full of faith, praising God, and she seemed like she was getting better. Saturday morning, the next day at 7:30, she was still worshiping, and then 10 minutes later, she was gone. She passed away. And it was a huge loss to the church in Niger. People have come from everywhere. And over there, when you're in the hospital, they don't feed you in the hospital. It's up to the family to come and take care of you and bring you your food. There was a tremendous need for food at that time. Tremendous, probably financial outlay that I imagine the Bowdens had to shoulder. So I want to lift them up. This has been a huge loss for the ministry that they work in. There's another card in the back that if you want to sign that. I think the Bowdens have had a very difficult season with this, and it's going to be a difficult time for the entire ministry that they work under. So I'd like to.
That were
injured as well, and as far as I know, they're still recovering. Severe burns and peeling skin coming off their bodies. It was just very difficult. So we can, as Carol said, lift up the daughter and the other workers there as well. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the lovely family of the Bowdens, and we pray that you would help them in this season. Lord, where the ministry there has just been rocked by this loss of this precious sister, and yet there are these three others who are still recovering, and the needs are still great, and the ministry must continue. So, Father, we pray that you would be with that family, and that you would be with all of that ministry that they're working under, and that you would bless Jonathan and Danny as they minister to the people. Father, it's hard when tragedy strikes. We pray that you would bring blessing out of difficulty and that you would bring good out of this tragedy. Father, and we thank you for the incredible outpouring of love and support for Mama Guoma, Lord, and all that she meant to the people in Niger, Lord. We pray that your blessing would be on her husband and, Lord, upon her daughter, and the workers as they recover, may they be touched by your healing. God, in Jesus' name, that you would heal their wounds and bring a testimony out of this difficulty in Jesus' name. We lift up the Rositsky family to you as well today. Father, such a hard, difficult thing to have to face. We lift up Ernie and Lynn. Lord, I thank you that they have been faithful parents all these years ministering to their children's needs. I pray that you would be with them in this hour, that you would minister to their grief, Lord, that you would help these three children. Lord, that you would help be with Chris's brother, Matt. Father, that you would touch this family in their time of grief and minister to them. And Father, I pray that you would make that time on Wednesday an opportunity for people to receive Christ. Thank you, Father, that even out of the most awful thing, you can bring something good. Pray that you would bless that family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we ask in faith, believing. It's not hopeless prayers that we pray. We pray believing God to move and do wonderful things. I want to begin to share with you today. It's been in my heart to begin to teach on worship. And so we'll be looking for the next several weeks at the topic of worship. I'm happy to share with you that our brother Dick Grout from Elam Bible Institute, he's taught on praise and worship at the college there for lots of years. And Tom Brazell sort of rattled my cage and said, Dave, we need to have Dick come down. And I contacted him the other day, and he's very excited. He will be with us on April 21st. To share on worship as well. But today I want to just sort of lay a foundation for what we're going to be looking at on the topic of worship. What is worship? Is worship something that we do on Sunday morning when we get together and we sing a few songs? We have our worship time. Is that our worship? Well, yes, it is. It certainly is. But if we left it at that and said, oh, well, that's our worship, I think that would be a very narrow look at it. Worship is so much more than that. And it's not that what we do coming corporately on Sunday mornings is not enough or bad or somehow. It's wonderful. The scriptures teach Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect meeting together as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there's something wonderful when we come together and corporately worship and sing. It's a wonderful thing. But I think that in my heart, I have sometimes had the tendency to evaluate the effectiveness of our worship by how it makes me feel. How did I feel about worship today? Well, I don't know. It wasn't that great today. You know, I didn't play the piano very well. You know, we didn't sing very well. So, you know, or it was great. You know, people were shouting. Evaluating worship on the basis of how we feel is extremely backward. worship is not about how we feel or what we receive. It is about what we give. It's about giving. And what is the target? Worship is bowing ourselves, our lives, our hearts before our superior, which is God. That's our audience. He is our heavenly audience. A famous preacher said that, oh, I don't have that quote right. I better not say it. He talked about the worship leader being the actor and the congregation in worship being the critic. And ultimately, you know, the congregation is the worshipers, the performers, it would we say, and God is the critic. God is the one that is the critic. But true worship always costs us something. It's not free. It's not cheap. It costs us something. Romans 12:1 says, Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you present your bodies, you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And here's the tag at the end. This is your true and proper worship. If you want to worship God, if you want to give Him a pleasing offering, what He wants is for you to offer up your body. Yow. I don't mind giving Him a little of my time. I don't mind. I give Him my money, but my body? I mean, that's everything. That's no holds barred. He wants us to be willing to climb up on the altar because it's a living sacrifice. It's not dead. It's alive. And we have to climb up onto that altar and put ourselves there. Wow. And there is our worship. One aspect of worship is when we completely surrender our heart, our will, our mind to before our God and give that up to Him. That is something. And it's described as the sacrifice of ourselves, our submission to His Lordship and proclaiming that He is worthy of our praise. Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We know that hasn't happened yet, but it will one day. One day all of those atheists that say, well, on that day you tell me that God's going to judge me, well, on that day I'll be the one to judge God. That's what they think, but you know what? One day they will be without excuse and they'll stand before God and their knees will bow along with everyone else. They'll be bowed in grief, some in joy, some in grief, but every single knee is going to bow in worship. So I want to take a look today at the priority of true worship. And if you have your Bible with you, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 4. I'd like to go all the way back to the beginning. And we're going to look at the very first worship service in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. And beginning in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you will be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I will be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain so that anyone finding him would not kill him. There's a fundamental principle of Bible interpretation that we call the law of first mention. And it just simply means that there are clues to understanding a biblical subject or biblical truth often found in the very first time that it's mentioned in the scriptures. And here we have, with Cain and Abel, the very first mention of a worship service. It probably wasn't the first time that offerings had been made. I'm sure that Adam and Eve probably had made sacrifices and offerings, and they had taught their children to do it. But this is actually the first recorded time that we see that happening. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, Eve says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I imagine it probably reflected Adam and Eve's sincere hope that Cain would be the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, where it was, well, I better read it, Genesis 3:15, where he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Probably thought that that was going to be Cain, that Cain was going to be the fulfillment of that. But in verse 2, we're introduced to the very first sibling vocations. Abel was the first in a long line of godly shepherds. There was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, and we have Abel as the first one. You'll notice that it foreshadows what Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And then we have Cain, who followed Adam's lead and worked as a farmer. And verses 3 and 4, it says that they brought their offerings. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. So Cain brought the fruit of the land, the work of his hands. Abel brought an offering from his flock of sheep. And the first clue that we notice that something is kind of up here is in noting that Cain gave from his crop. It doesn't say that he gave the first fruits of his crop. It doesn't say that he gave the best of his crop. It doesn't say that Cain offered anything bad, but it's clear that Abel brought, it says, the very best of his flock. The very, very best that he had. It says that God had respect for Abel's offering, and he didn't have respect for Cain. I don't know how they knew that. I don't know if you know, there was some kind of sign from heaven. The scripture doesn't show us. It's just that there was obviously some approval of Abel's, and there wasn't any approval for Cain's. And why did God regard Abel and disregard Cain? The scripture isn't bluntly clear here, but I believe that part of the reason is in the nature of the offering. Cain's offering was not a sin offering. It was not an offering for sin because there was not a blood offering. It wasn't a blood sacrifice. Remember that blood offerings pointed to the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. That's where we have it, Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So that it was not a blood sacrifice. Others say that Cain didn't give his best, didn't give his very best. The text doesn't really say. Others would say that Cain's attitude was wrong. and that could have been too. All we know for certain is that one of the boys' worship was accepted and the others was not. And that brings us to the main crux, the main point of this thing. The priority of worship is not for one offering, is not to be accepted or to be rejected. The main, it's not to have approval on what you've done or not to have approval on what you've done, or to present a better offering than somebody else, or to not have as good an offering. The priority of worship is simply to make sure that God is pleased. That's the priority. He alone is the subject and object of true worship. It is all about God, and it's all for God. A church member left church one day, and he told the pastor, "I didn't really like the worship service today." And the pastor just bluntly looked at him and said, "Well, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you." That's right. Now, that might seem like kind of a harsh response, but it's true. Worship is not about us. It's not about our needs or preferences or what we can receive. Now, granted, when we worship, God wants to have relationship. We enjoy His presence. We like coming in. But that's not the object. The object is not how it makes us feel. How do we, did I get excited in worship today? Oh, I just, it was just so wonderful today because I feel so, that's not the point. It's not about our needs, our preferences, or what we can receive. People sometimes judge the worth of worship time by if it was exciting or inspiring or whether they felt God's presence, but that's not the point. Worship is not about us. Our worship should not revolve around what we do or don't, what we do or don't get from it. What we do get or don't get from it. The question is, are we pleasing Him? Are our hearts submitted to His Lordship in sacrificial worship? You know, there's an ongoing debate in Christian circles, it goes on to this day, about whether worship should be focused on the seekers or upon the saints. And we have seeker-friendly churches where the whole object of a Sunday morning service is to invite people in and make them comfortable. Help them to come in and remove anything that has the possibility of being controversial, and make the church as appealing as possible. And in my mind, sometimes that involves a lot of compromise. And then you have people who it's all about the Christians there. Make it exciting for the Christians. Ministering to the people, making it an exciting worship service for them. And ultimately, both sides are wrong. Because the seekers aren't the target audience. The saints aren't the target audience. God is the target audience. It's obvious by Cain's response that God was not the target of his worship. Can you see that by his response? Verse 5, Cain was angry. It said he was very angry. You look at the Hebrew there. He was boiling mad. He was not a happy camper at all. Why? He was looking for approval, I believe. He's the firstborn. He's bringing the offering of all that he has worked so hard for. He worked for this by the strength of his arm. He raised these crops, and this is what he is offering to God as the firstborn, and he felt that he should be approved. I think and Abel offered sacrifice. He just took the best that he had of his flock and gave it. Abel offered sacrifice. Cain wanted status. He offered the work of his hands. He would have probably to offer an acceptable sacrifice. He probably would have had to go and humble himself in front of little brother and ask him for one of the flock that he could present as well. Guess who didn't want to do that? The firstborn didn't want to. He would have had to humble himself and go to his younger brother, and I don't think he could do it. But all of this is a picture of the gospel. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You know, when Jesus met the woman at the well, you remember the story in John chapter 4? He went to a village in Samaria, and he was thirsty, and he sat by a well, and he met a woman that came out. And as they discussed, he told her in John 4:23 that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And she was trying to have a philosophical debate about worship with him. Well, we worship you, we Samaritans worship in this mountain, but you say that we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Well, that was a great diversion because he had just told her, well, yeah, bring your husband. And he says, oh, I don't have a husband. Yeah, that's right. You've had five of them, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. And she goes, oh, I perceive that you are a prophet. Let's talk about worship. let's see. We worship here. You say we're supposed to worship there. Anything but not talking about my husbands anymore, please. Let's change the subject. And Jesus said, the time is coming where the true worshipers it's not going to be worship in Jerusalem or worship on this mountain. It's worship in spirit. And that doesn't require a place. That doesn't require a building. We're gonna vote on this wonderful video system, and I'm so excited about it. But it isn't dependent upon a video system. It isn't dependent upon a microphone. It's dependent on our spirit connecting with His spirit in worship, in worshiping Him. And you know what? In the long and short of it, you don't need anything else to worship Him but a submitted heart. That's what God's looking for. But this woman, she wanted to just, you know, she was looking for something she could do to be right. Where do I worship? How do I do it? How can I do this thing? And God looks on the heart and delights in the ones who approach Him humbly and worshipfully. And this woman, really, she was somewhat similar to Cain. I think she was seeking acceptance too. She wanted to do something to be accepted by God. Obviously, she had an acceptance problem. She was running from man to man to man to man, and she was with someone that wasn't her husband at that point. So obviously, she's looking for acceptance and approval. And Jesus said, you've got to worship. You've got the wrong idea here. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus let her know, as He lets us know, that worship is all about God. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We're going to be looking quite a bit at worship from the Scriptures, worship and how we worship, what we worship, all of that. But the ultimate foundation of that is understanding the target. The target of our worship is not us. It's Him. And we bring the sacrifice of praise to Him, and we bring it and give it to Him with no conditions. God, I'll worship You if You'll bless me. God, help us. God, I'm going to worship You no matter what. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. I'm glad He doesn't want to slay us, but the heart of worship in spirit and in truth, not like those Pharisees who were hypocritical and worshiping God out of a false humility or out of a pridefulness or anything else, but in truth, with a true heart that says, God, I just want to worship You and acknowledge You as God and Lord. You're worthy of my praise. Father, I pray that You would, as we think and look at worship, that you would help us, Father. What we want to be is ones like Abel, who bring the very best, that we can, from our hearts, bring that the biggest, fattest, firstborn sheep of our hearts that we've got, that we come to you. And Lord, I remember the widow's mite. Jesus said she gave so much. Well, she didn't give very much, but she gave everything. Father, help us from our hearts to worship you without holding anything back, that you would help us to understand what it means to climb up on the altar and be there and worship you, and worship you no matter what, on our good days and on our bad days, and when things don't go the way we think they ought to have gone, when things are hard, when things are easy. Help us, Lord. Help us to, Lord, as we heard this morning, we were worshiping, put on that garment of praise, to put it on. Lord, if we have to put it on over our mourning clothes in a time of grief, or put them on over our celebratory clothes in a joyful time, help us to be people who worship you no matter what. Because you're worthy, and that's the only reason, because you're worthy, and you have redeemed us, and we have joyful and thankful hearts. Lord, not for what we can get out of worship or how we can enjoy worship, but how you can enjoy worship, how you can enjoy being with us, how we can come and lift up your name. And we thank you for it. Help us to bring that acceptable offering of praise. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me one more time? I'd like to close with one of the songs that we sang this morning. If I can find it. That song that we sang, Worthy. Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone, I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy.
worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Father, we declare that you are worthy. That you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy to be lifted high. God, we praise your name today. Oh, God, we pray that you would be pleased with that sacrifice of praise that we bring to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus made a way that we could come with our praises and offer them to you. Oh, we give you glory. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If you're here today and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. Believe God to touch your body or your soul or your spirit, whatever you need. Otherwise, we'll be having shortly after a brief meeting to look at our video projection system. We hope that especially any members can stay for a few minutes so that we can do that. God bless you.